Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We'll read verses 34 through 40 to start out this morning. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, of course, they're trying to get Jesus to try to trick him in some way. They were never able to do that. It was very interesting. They wanted to use the law and the prophets to try to catch Jesus in a statement. He turns it around on them and says, "Hey, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." They were all about the works. And Jesus said to them, really what it comes down to is loving. So we're going to look at really the second of those two commandments this morning. And that is loving your neighbor, loving one another. You know, you can speak on love and it can be a fluffy kind of message, but that's not what I'm trying to achieve this morning. I want us to see this morning how important this is. And I'm not going to be looking necessarily at the definition of what love is. I'm going to make the assumption that when we talk about loving people, we know what we're talking about. The acts of love. We could just say generally the sacrifice that that calls for, the dedication that that calls for, the putting other people first all the time that it calls for. That's what we're talking about, and not the peripherals or the surface kind of things that much of the world understands love being. We want to go deeper than that. But Matthew and Mark and Luke, they record Jesus' words that the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And those same Gospels tell us that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And considering that the Word of God tells us to do something with all our heart and mind and soul, that is to love God, then it's pretty clear that we are to do it with all our being and ability. Add to this that we are to love, again, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We see that we are to do this as well with great fervor. Because when Jesus says to love others as we love ourselves, then we know that that is something that we do with great fervor. For who among us does not love himself or herself? I mean, would we not honestly admit that it's a love for ourselves that causes many problems in our lives and temptations to sin and to carry out those sinful desires? You can usually boil it down to we want it to be first because we love ourselves. Very interesting, we're not told to love our neighbors as we love our spouse, we love our children or our best friend. No, we are told to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Because that love is one of commitment and effort, unfortunately. We're very good at that and we're very committed to that. So God tells us to turn that kind of committed love loose on our neighbors, for it's very strong. And in these two examples, we understand that loving is something that God calls us to do with much zeal. So we have heart, mind, and soul to love God and then to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Well, to say that the New Testament is full of commands and directives for believers to love each other and our neighbors, that would be an understatement. not hard to see the grace of God in everything in life, and this area is no different. For the thing that we find most difficult to do, that being loving others as we love ourselves, He overwhelms us with information and direction how to do it. And you may say, I do not struggle with loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. How often, however, do we respond with love when it is hard to love? Say, I can love people. I don't have any problem with that. But when it gets a little more difficult, when it calls for sacrifice, and when it's painful to love somebody because maybe they've done something against us, how do we do with that? Well, that's the kind of love the Scripture is speaking of, as we will see. So we're going to look at a number of different categories that loving one another is connected to. We're going to read a lot of Scripture, and there's a specific reason why I want us to take us to so much Scripture when it comes to this topic. We need to be challenged by it. We need to evaluate our lives to see if we are loving one another as God's Word calls us, the way in which God's Word calls us to do so. So first category, loving one another and the work of Christ. So our love for one another is only possible through the work of Christ. We would not love each other if Christ did not go to the cross and change our hearts. God did not change our hearts. It all depends on God's sacrifice of His Son. And it is this same sacrifice that requires a life of love towards one another. So let's start looking at Scripture. 1 Peter 1, 17 to 23. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. This is the cross word, Christ word. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed to you in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. So here is how we are supposed to love, and it's directly connected to the cross, the work of Christ. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. You have been born again because of the cross. As a result of the cross, love one another deeply from the heart. Let's move on. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Live a life of love. A life, this is saying a life that is characterized by loving. A life that shows love all the time. A life of love. That's the way that we are supposed to live. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. Our love for one another is directly connected to Christ and the work that He has done on the cross. This love for one another that is required follows the pattern that God has for us and has shown us in the sacrifice of His Son. So loving one another is directly connected to the cross. Similarly, this same pattern of love must be followed in the area of forgiving. So our next category is loving one another and forgiveness. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This is in the area of church discipline. You're probably familiar with this passage. If anyone has caused grief, He's not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. So, the collective church discipline that Paul undoubtedly directed toward his sinning brother in Corinth was done in love. And that's the reason there is church discipline, which is really a different topic. But the point is that this church discipline in itself is an act of love that many leaders are not willing to carry out. But the point here is that the goal was repentance for this brother that was in sin. The sin was damaging to the body and it had to be dealt with. But when the point of forgiveness is reached, it calls for an act of love on the body to carry it out. To not forgive would have been stating that the sinning brother is not worthy of forgiveness by other sinners. And that's not biblical. The goal for church discipline isn't to burden a brother or sister and beat them down, even after they've repented and they're seeking forgiveness. That's not the goal at all. But we as sinners should never hold ourselves in such high esteem that we think we can hold the sin of others over their heads. If there's repentance and forgiveness, it needs to be granted. If Christ forgives, who are we not to forgive? So loving one another and forgiving is directly connected. That's the point of the following passages in Colossians 3. Verses 12 through 15 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. To not forgive and to not love without resentment is to sin against God. It's to say, I will accept forgiveness from a holy God to a lowly sinner, such as myself, but I will not forgive, I will not give that same forgiveness. And if that's the way our hearts are, we really need to evaluate whether or not they are truly in the faith. But God's forgiveness does not compel us to forgive the same. So loving one another is directly connected to forgiveness. We look at how we've been forgiven and we give that same forgiveness out of love, because that same love has been shown to us. Great connection between being able to forgive and being able to love one another. Okay, we move on to another category. Loving one another and our calling. God has called us. God has called us to follow Him. He's chosen us. We are the elect. And we need to love each other. Jesus called His disciples to follow Him and to preach the gospel. Plan was then to do that once he left the earth to be with his Father. And God's calling is connected closely with our loving one another. It is expected to go hand in hand. To be a follower of Christ, it was understood through much teaching that you would love the other followers of Christ. So we have a number of verses that we can look at for this as well. God's call on our lives. God has called us to save us. Now, the response to that is to love. So, very simply, John 15:17, this is my command. Love each other. Let's skip 1 Corinthians for just a moment and go down to Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. So Paul tells the Galatian believers that they were called to be free, that call to freedom brought with it the expectancy of humility, service, and love towards one another. 1 Corinthians 13, and we really kind of need to look at a larger passage, but you obviously before 1 Corinthians 13 is 1 Corinthians 12, one of the gift passages that Paul teaches about. But he has to remind them in the following verses that don't use those gifts to make yourself look good, because whatever gifts you might have, speaking in tongues or healing or teaching or whatever, those are for building up the body. And those are to be carried out in love. And that's what he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're not doing this in love, then you're wasting your time, he basically says. You're a sounding gong. You have no effect. And at the end of the chapter, he says in verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul elevates love to the greatest of faith, hope, and love. So let's look at, going on, let's look at 1 Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We won't read the rest of that. But again, here is a passage that talks about us being chosen. We have been redeemed, and we need to live lives of love in response to that. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure hearts, those who have been called and those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. There's a certain way to live, and that is to, among other things, love people. Titus 2, verses 1 through 4. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And here we have a list of groups of people and what they're told to do. The New Testament does that a lot, and the area of love is no different. So, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. So as Paul teaches Titus, he teaches him about love, and he teaches him to teach others about love as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. This calling upon our lives is a theme throughout Scripture. God calls us. We belong to him. We are responsible to follow him. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure. Along with Paul, Peter preaches the same message, to be loving. 1 John 3, verses 18 through 24. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That's what I was referring to earlier, not just with what we say or the peripherals, but actions and truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. Very interesting. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. How? Well, by loving. With actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. And this is His command: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. God has called us to love one another. He commands us to do it. 2 John 1, 5, and 6, so as you don't get confused and possibly look at chapter 2. Sorry about that. I should just say 2 John 5 and 6. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. His command is that you walk in love. His call on our lives is to love one another. His command is that you walk in love. This is a very serious topic. We are not surprised to see so much volume in the Word of God about it. I have 4 or 5 different categories that we're going to look at. We're not scratching the surface. So we'll move on. Loving one another extensively. We've already seen some of this. The depth of which we need to be loving each other. So loving one another extensively. We need to be loving one another deeply. The New Testament writers expressed this love to those whom they wrote. Other brothers and sisters expressed love by their actions. Jude 1 and 2. Jude, a servant of Christ and a brother of James. To those who have been called, this could go into our calling section as well, that category, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. It's not just an introduction to His letter. It is a heartfelt message of love to those He is writing to. 3 John 5 and 6. Dear friend, speaking to Gaius, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. What a great testimony, the body of Christ that He had. You are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Love acts not because of what it has received or what it might receive. Gaius did this for people he didn't even know, and he loved them. That is loving people extensively, not looking for something in return. Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How can we do that? Let's consider how we can do that. That takes time, that takes effort to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not only to love ourselves, but to teach and to build each other up toward love and good deeds. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Paul commends the Thessalonians because their love is increasing. They love each other. They don't settle for that. They love each other more and more. Because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. You ever think about increasing your love for others? Don't apologize for looking at this passage again, 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 23. Talking about loving each other extensively. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed to you in these last times for your sake. Through him you believed in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. We move on. The message to the church in Thyatira was one of recognition for their love and faith. While they did have other problems that Christ pointed out, they were known for their love towards one another. So Revelation 2, verses 18 and 19. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Love, faith, service, perseverance. You're now doing more than you did at first. It is increasing. They are doing more. Paul's message to the Philippian believers was to be like Christ in great humility, to put the needs of others before themselves, even at great cost. Let's read this wonderful passage. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 7. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And we haven't even seen the command to love yet, but this is really that command. Consider others better than yourselves in humility. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That humility and that service for others is acts of love that we've already talked about. And we are to be like Christ. 1 Timothy 4:12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So as Paul trains this young man, he tells him to set an example of love. The way he lives. An exemplary life is the call for all believers to live. Are we doing that towards one another? James chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Acts 2, verses 44 through 47. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Those are acts of love. Taking what they had, selling it to provide for other people. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. For believers to live in harmony with each other, loving is absolutely necessary because we are sinners that make mistakes. So we'll look at our next category here, loving one another in peace, living in harmony and unity. Loving is absolutely necessary. You're noticing the volume of Scripture, I hope, that addresses this topic. And we know that if Scripture addresses things in volume or repeats things, we pay attention. We always pay attention, but it's a different level, so to speak, when we see all this volume and repetition. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 11. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. But at the beginning there, finally, all of you live in harmony with each other. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Ephesians again, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So 1 Peter chapter 3, Ephesians 4, you have loving and peace in the same context in those passages. Romans 12, verses 9 through 18, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Praying for people is an act of love. Share with God's people who are in need. That's an act of love. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. That's peace. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Loving one another in peace is very closely connected. Philemon, verses 7 through 10. You know Philemon and the runaway slave story. And Paul's letter to him. He writes to him, encouraging him to exercise love. He says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains." So here is the message to Philemon for forgiveness, really, of sin against him and releasing this runaway slave. Paul is saying to him, you need to act in love. Verse 21, "Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." Philemon didn't stand upon his rights to do what he was legally allowed to do to a runaway slave. Rather, he acted in love. And Paul knew that he would. What a great testimony Philemon must have had. Well, okay, if you're keeping score at home, I wonder if you've noticed that we've referenced every book in the New Testament so far, except one, unless I'm mistaken, but I'm pretty sure. And we're going to address that one momentarily. Now, this should certainly tell us something, or maybe even a few things. There's a reason for repetition in Scriptures. And when every New Testament book references loving one another, it should, at the very least, make us realize that this is not only important to God, but it is also something that, left to ourselves, we would likely neglect. So, of course, God in His perfect wisdom tells us over and over and over again, you need to be loving one another. This is why we have to have so many reminders. This should be very humbling for all of us to need to be reminded in every single book of the New Testament to love one another. So we'll complete the list now. We go to 1 Thessalonians, and I purposely saved this passage for last. I did so that if we at this point have not been overwhelmed by the volume of the reminders or the seriousness of the reminders, or if we think we're doing okay in the area of loving one another, we'll see there's a special message for us here. Because here we find a group of Christians that are doing quite well with loving one another. And here's what Paul says. 1 Thessalonians verses chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. "Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia." So here you have a group of Christians that are loving each other. Paul even says, we don't even need to write to you about this. God is working in your life. He's teaching you how to do this. And you're doing it. So we find a group of people are doing exactly what is so very important to God, but the apostle does not say, okay, you've got this covered. We don't need to address this. Let's move on to the next topic. No, this is what he says. He says, we don't need to write to you about this. Verses 9 and 10, but then he says, yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. He could not say enough about how important it is to love each other. And even if you are loving each other more and more. Again, we didn't even get close to looking at all the New Testament talks about regarding loving one another, but I hope we have begun to realize the volume that this topic occupies in its pages. Perhaps we have had thoughts or attitudes recently about brothers and sisters that were not at all loving. We would be wise to allow the Word of God to change our hearts and to repent for this rebellion. Our God is love and requires that we show the love we have received to others. Our enemy, Satan, and our flesh will tell us it may be okay to love people when they are lovely, though Satan would probably never tell us to love anyone, but we might say we can love people when they are lovely, when it's convenient. when people are nice to us, when it's not hard, when we don't have to sacrifice anything, and maybe we can get something in return, when we have determined that people are worthy of our love, etc., etc., etc. We should remember that we were none of these things when God loved us and redeemed us. We were not nice. We were not giving. We were not worthy of love. And that's when we were saved. And that's how we need to love others, according to God's word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we tell you thank you for the love that we have been shown, yet we probably cannot grasp the depth of it. But we thank you for the cross. And we thank you that now, because we have been loved, we too can love. And we ask that you would give us the wisdom to take this very seriously, carry it out as you have called us to do it, know what Scripture says about it, and do it in a way that is pleasing to you, in a way that follows after the example of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we ask this in His name.